the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. I remember a meeting of Orthodox Christians from all over the South, and they began to talk to one another about their faith. And as they began to speak to one another, there was one young man who was a recent convert to Orthodoxy, very enthusiastic, very pious, and he began to try to chime in. But when he did, the expressions that he used in order to express his piety were those that he was familiar with from before he was Orthodox. They were the kinds of expressions of devoutness that you can hear probably in any of the churches around Tekoa, except for our own. It takes a while for a convert to Orthodoxy to learn the lingo, to learn the language, to learn not just the theology, but how to express your Orthodox piety. But there is one thing that was interesting about this gathering of Orthodox Christians, and that was that the young man recognized what the Orthodox were doing. And so he chimed in and did exactly the same thing. And the only thing that was different were the words that he chose in order to express piety that did not really come from the way of life of the people who said those things. There is such a thing as false piety. There is even an Orthodox way of expressing false piety. A piety that is sincere, but does more for the speaker than it does for the hearer. In other words, it's not like listening to a holy person tell us about the reality of spiritual life once we have purged ourselves of our passions and love God more than ourselves, love others more than ourselves, are able to turn aside from the comforts of the world with no sense of loss, the best foods and all of the rest of those things. When we hear such a woman or such a man speak about their life that has become a synergy, a cooperation with God, it's different than when those of us who really are committed to living a life primarily of enjoying the good things of the world talk about our faith in a way that is pious, reverent, and not a realistic representation of how we actually live our lives. We're talking about pietism. It's a form of false humility. I heard Herman Middleton referred to pietism in the talk that I recently attended at St. John of the Ladder Orthodox Church in Greenville. He went there to speak about the importance of the elders of Mount Athos and all of the elders that inspire those of us who are continuing to try to respond to Christ's great commandment, be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. It's meant to initiate a struggle toward the heights of humanity that are revealed in Christ himself. Most of us will spend most of our days, Herman said, struggling up out of the darkness of the valley. We will not reach the heights in this lifetime. It is a matter of, do we respond Do we actually engage in the spiritual struggle, the spiritual effort, and begin to really and truly and sincerely leave the world behind in the least possible way? Or are we more interested in sounding, to the best of our ability, the way the saints sound to us with our worldly ears? Pietism, Herman said, is recognized as a problem by the elders. And Herman said that for his own part, he has noticed that pietism, false humility, pretense at a faith that is beyond our own, is a great problem for converts, especially in America. Being widely traveled, Herman has been able to see Orthodox in their native lands, how they go about being Orthodox, how they go about expressing their Orthodox faith. And in America, there is this tendency toward pietism. Now, when I heard the word pietism, which Herman clearly defined as false humility, I thought to myself, but pietism refers to something specific that I'm familiar with. And I was remembering back into my Lutheran youth, and I know that pietism was a movement that began in the 18th century. It was a movement away from confidence in the traditions of the church. It was a movement away from confidence in communion, the chalice, confession, and all of those things of the church. It was an individualistic response of personal piety and a devotion to making a separate effort, an effort separate from the others. And so it was the same thing that Herman was discussing, but it was a whole movement. Within the Lutheran Church, it began, but it didn't stay there. It affected John Wesley and his Methodist movement. It affected the Baptist confessions. It became very widespread through the 19th century, and it was still alive in the Lutheran Church of my youth in the middle of the 20th century. Now, incidentally, it is gone. Those churches have moved on to other things. But there is a tendency amongst converts to Orthodoxy toward pietism. How do we go about being Orthodox? What do we make of the fact that we are called to be something that we seemingly cannot be? How do we deal with that? It involves a spiritual struggle and a spiritual effort that is unfamiliar to us. But we have to say this. It was one thing for the Lutherans, following Martin Luther, who believed that synergy with God is impossible. It was one thing for them to turn to a pietist movement that had to do with thoughts and feelings and efforts in the mind and efforts in the emotion. It made them feel better than they had before. It may even have, out of pride, inspired them, like the Pharisee, to do greater good deeds than they may have been able to do before, as they were able to be more at peace with themselves because they felt more religious, more spiritual. It was a matter of thoughts, and it was a matter of feeling, but it was not a matter of what the Orthodox understand as the heart, because after all, they did not believe that cooperation with God for one's own salvation is even possible. But we do believe that. If we were to turn from actual spiritual effort to work toward humility, to build ourselves up with a false piety, we would be betraying something that they did not believe in. To turn to pietism, seeking a sense of spiritual feeling or thinking, for Orthodox, to be satisfied with that, to substitute that for a genuine and serious spiritual effort, is a kind of blasphemy against synergy with God, our calling. Be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Only God is good. Only God is perfect. We can only be perfect by reorienting ourselves away from the world, away from ourselves, and beginning to move toward Him by the deeds that we do in the world in humility, and by coming and confessing our sins in humility, not confessing them as though they are embarrassing departures, individual examples of our own fall from the way we know we ought to be. I ought to be better than this. I don't know why I do this. There is something in me that causes me to do this, and I know that I am better than that. We fall because we try to be something good separately from God. The young man who came to Jesus and called him good teacher got the response, only God is good. The goodness of Christ Himself is an expression of the goodness of the Father. The young man's effort to single Christ out, to treat Jesus as though He were simply a teacher, a good teacher, was contradicted by Christ. Our spiritual efforts are not efforts that we make on our own. Our spiritual efforts always have to do with humility. There is only one way for us to proceed if we are not going to be like the Pharisee. That is to be like the publican. Lord, have mercy on me. That's why the Jesus prayer is so important. The beginning of every confession should start there with an expression of this humility. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. What I need is mercy, not forgiveness for having fallen from some high Christian standard that I would like to carry the banner of in the world and notice that other people are not following. That's where the pride is reinforced. The pride of feeling that since we have not broken this commandment or that commandment, or that we have this or that ability, we are somehow better than others. And then when we do something we ought not to have done, we go and we confess, Father, I have broken this commandment. I have sinned because I have fallen from the high standard that we are all called to as Christians and that I am called to fulfill in my own life. And I ask God to forgive me and give me the ability to go out into the world and be a Christian on my own, a new Christ, separate from Him, with my pride intact, like the Pharisee. This is a great problem for us. As converts, there is no alternative but the reality of things in Orthodoxy. There isn't a single way to find some refuge, some way of making peace with the fact that Christ has called us to be like Him, that someone hasn't already discovered and tried to use long ago. Our humanity and its fallenness, they don't change. We're not going to be able to come up with some way of faking being like Christ, presenting ourselves to others as something that we are not. Sometimes pietism, false humility, can be an emotional thing. We can be sincere about it. We can feel it strongly. It's a kind of sentimentalism. There is that little department of our faith that stands alongside our central love of the world and affirmation of ourselves. And false piety, a sentimental pietism, It can even be a way of affirming ourselves. There is also an additional to that emotional kind of pietism, a more intellectual kind of pietism, a devotion to the thoughts, the ideas, and the teachings of the Orthodox faith that we can expound on and affirm our belief in, even though they are convicting us all the time. And again, we can feel better about ourselves because we have a superior knowledge and understanding of things as compared to the others. And that brings us back again to the Pharisee. How are we going to find an escape from this Pharisaism? There is no way that we can come out of this looking good before God. There is no alternative to humility. There is no alternative to falling down before Him and asking Him to forgive us as the sinners that we are, the missers of the mark, the ones who use virtually everything that we begin to learn and understand as yet another way of establishing ourselves once more. I know myself, when we go and we visit a monastery and we see those engaging in the effort of spiritual life, how difficult it is not to return with a kind of pietistic spirit, a sense of piety that we bring back from the monastery. And we want to tell others about our experience, but we are who we are. We live the lives that we do. And the words that we find seem to be false words because we are not doing what we have seen done somewhere else by others. And that is the only alternative to Pharisaism. To begin doing what they are doing in our own lives ourselves. Not to let ourselves be fooled by our supreme desire to think well of ourselves and to think less of others. That's our weak point as Americans. We desperately want to think well of ourselves. Herman also mentioned something said by Elder Porphyrios. Elder Porphyrios tells us that we have to avoid what he called a sickly spirituality. On the one hand, feeling emotionally terrible about our sins, and on the other hand, feeling emotionally prideful about our virtue. Both of them at the same time. Elder Porphyrios called it a kind of complex. It's not humility when that's the kind of condition we're in. There is a difference, Elder Porphyrios said, between a complex and humility. It all has to begin there. It all has to begin with humility. The only way we could avoid Pharisaism is by the prayer of the publican. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.